show. Patty, how is this sounding on your end? Because I switched microphones. Oh, I'm sorry. Patty can't talk. You know, the show used to be, it used to be a nice respite for me. Now it's more stress than the other off-the-air stuff. All right, let's go to this one then. Let's go to this one. Hi, everyone. It's The Food Show. I'm Marianne Fitzmaurice. I would love to talk food with you. 556-9696 is the number. If you would like to visit, I would love to have you in as a visitor. Let's see. We had a great lunch today. We had a really, really nice lunch. Tom and I went to a new place, and it is a really, really charming place in Mandeville. It is a place called Odelia, and it is a, I would liken it to Bar Merrilew. People are familiar with Bar Merrilew. It is a French place. It is full of feminine touches that are very French. And by French, I mean modern French, not vintage French. It's utterly glamorous. The music overhead is wonderful. It's a really cool place. It's completely unique. Nothing like it. Now, I would say, I just said it reminds me of Bar Merrilew. That's like it, but nothing on the North Shore like this. I mean, it's completely foreign to the North Shore. And so it was just a really interesting place. Not cheap. It was $77 for lunch, but it was really nice. Was it good food? Was the food good? Yes, the food is good enough. It is not, it would not stand alone without the environment. But I don't think it's a situation that cannot be remedied. I would expect it to improve. I don't know the story, but I want to get the story for sure. The owner is a designer, an interior designer by trade, and her son is in the kitchen. They've been open since November, and it is utterly charming. Really, really a charming place for a date. Like if you wanted to have kind of a sexy date, it would be a great place, which meant that Tom and I were totally out of place. Very underdressed, totally out of place. It is a dress-up place. It's glamour, glamour, glamour. Not glamorous like Pardo's, for example, or Chifuncta's, where it's more about the food and the glamour is a bonus. This would be the reverse of that, where it's more about the place and the food is a bonus. Although the food's not that much of a bonus. It's kind of ordinary. It's not bad. It's not bad. But it's not anything to get really excited about. I'm excited about it because it's a really unique experience. And I think it has tremendous potential for becoming good. I don't know anything about the guy in the kitchen. He might be very experienced, but I get inexperience out of him. And I think that it's not inexperience with no sense of anything. I don't think that's true at all. I think it's inexperience that will become something with growth, if that makes sense. I was told by the waitress they are cutting their own potatoes back there, which always gets extra points for me. They were batter fried, which don't understand if you're cutting your own potatoes why you would do that. They had sea salt and they had truffle parmesan. I asked them to put the parmesan on the sea salt fries and forget the truffle, which is what they did. She recommended, charming, adorable little waitress, just adorable, and couldn't have been more attentive, not annoyingly so, just perfectly pitched attentiveness. She, all the waitresses are cute young things, and it's a very charming place. It is right next door to a place called Oh Darling, and it has a door that's like a library secret door that goes into the place next door. It's a really unique environment, and one that I find kind of fascinating. It's actually the second time in a year that I've seen a secret door. The other one is at Jubin's in Baton Rouge. And maybe I've seen too many old movies, but I love the idea of a secret door. And the place next door is kind of a chick's hangout. So it was an interesting thing. I will go back. The menu is extremely light in terms of offerings. It's quite light, which I think is a good thing for a new restaurant. I think you should start out slowly, and they have clearly done that. There were a couple of salads on the menu, none of which looked all that appealing to me. They had a salmon BLT. We got sliders. They came two to a plate. They were cute little things, very toasty brioche buns with pimento cheese that I thought was maybe the best thing I had. The pimento cheese itself might have been the best thing I had. And there was a white bean dip on the menu. That looked kind of interesting. I mean, it's one of those things where the menu is small enough and not all that appealing that you have to really study it to find something that you want. So when I saw a white bean dip, I said, sold. When I saw sliders, I said, let's do that. And the white bean dip was, let's see, if the one at Del Porto, which is the definitive of that idea to me, it is utterly delicious. If that is a 10, this would be a 6. And it would be, I don't know why I wasn't thrilled by it. It had a lot of green olives in it. It had rosemary, which is always a negative for me. I don't like rosemary. I'm going to say that right now. I don't like rosemary. And I don't know. It was about a 6. It came with crostini that was really, really hard and really buttery, and I liked the crostini much better than I liked the white bean dip. So then when she brought the onion soup, I'm trying to decide how I felt about the onion soup. It was far, 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 far below my ultimate pinnacle onion soup, which people will laugh at when I say. The onion soup of my life was at the specialty dining room on the Carnival Conquest in 2002, a restaurant called The Point. I have never had the like since then. I love onion soup. Tom's is really good, but generally speaking, it takes a lot to wow me with an onion soup. If you know of a really great onion soup out there, I kind of would like to know, because I do really like it. But I haven't had a good one in a really, really long time. All right, back with more about our lunch at Odelia and the rest of the food show after this.
Front and Supply has reopened for you to come in and shop. Care has all the wipes, gloves, and sanitizing supplies that you may need, and face masks. They have a great selection of takeout containers, too. Call Billy to help you plan the renovation of your kitchen or dining room. Home cooks will find a great selection of kitchen tools, too. Hours are 8 to 4 weekdays right now. Buy local. Our city depends on it. Care Hotel and Restaurant Supply. Call 482-0294. 4815 Conti. Keith Young's Steakhouse on the North Shore in Madisonville is everything anyone thinks of when a steakhouse comes to mind. The environment is elegant and handsome. The service staff is knowledgeable, attentive, and friendly. And most important, the steaks are superb. The steakhouse sides are also great. Keith Young's Steakhouse, 165 Highway 21, Madisonville, 985-845-9940. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madame, with you.
Chimichurri is almost always seen with beef. And I don't know. That was kind of lost on me. Honestly, I almost asked for ketchup because the fries were good, but I didn't want to eat them with either of those sauces. So we got the sliders. The pimento cheese was good. The little beef burgers were cute. They were served with pickled, a nice red tomato and some really interesting little heads of, couldn't tell what kind of lettuce it was. It was like hearts of something. And it was lovely, very nice little presentation. The two things that we got, and all of this, Tom ate nothing. And since getting Tom to eat is a new cause, I looked at the menu for something else. And I saw that they have breakfast, not much of a breakfast, but there was a, let's see, egg tartlet, and they had two different kinds. And that little thing blew me away. It was buttery, flaky. It was really great, except for one critical disappointment. It was very salty, too salty. If it hadn't been too salty, that was one delicious little tartlet. And that was my only complaint about it. That would have been by far the star of this lunch had it not had too much salt in it. Wish they put some of the salt from that into the fries, which I thought could have used a little more salt. Anyway, this was not a bad meal. It was not a great meal. It was a meal that I would expect to be better if I go a few months from now. Let's say that. But the menu is not all that interesting. There were a lot of people walking in who were all dressed very stylishly, kind of a women's lunch place. And it was kind of funny because I am always fascinated by the clientele of Coffee Rainey in Mandeville. It is all of the tennis-playing moms of Mandeville who drop the kids off from school, play tennis, have a couple of rounds, then go to Coffee Rainey. And it was two sets of women. And right next door to each other, which is kind of interesting. But I really, really enjoyed being in this place. They said Friday and Saturday is a really good, like, date night. They serve dinner on Friday and Saturday. I would go for dinner. I will go for dinner at some point to kind of see the scene. I don't feel like I would be a regular at this place, but I was really happy to be there today. I thought it was a great little discovery and certainly worth a visit. And I don't know how much I will visit if the food improves a lot. I have to change clothes for sure, because we were extremely underdressed for this scene. But it was quite interesting. It was funny because because if you ever see that movie Sliding Doors, I've not seen it, but I've heard about it, read about it, where if you go into this door, your life is one way. You go into the other one, your life is the other way. And it's just like, couldn't be any more different. So we were looking for some place that was different. I actually got Tom out of the house today, which was good. I got him out last night, too. We went to La Coretta. He ate a lot, drank a lot, which was really important. Spent a couple of hours there. And then he was game to go again today. So that was exciting. So we got in the car, and we were going to drive around. I was looking for something different to say on the radio. So I got really desperate, and I started thinking, okay, we're going to go to the Times Bar and Grill, because I felt like a hamburger. So we're going to go to the Times Bar and Grill. And if anyone's familiar with the Times Bar and Grill, it's just the most ordinary burger place. It would be like our version of Ground Patty, only Ground Patty's a lot better. And I was going to take Tom there, but it was too dark. I always, if I'm looking for taking Tom out, it's got to be either by a window or it's got to be outside. So we haven't had a whole lot of luck with Tom in the heat lately, so we had to be inside. There was a place right by the window, sold. We went there. But I just am laughing every time I think about the difference in the two places that we almost went and went, because there could not be a wider span of everything between Odelia and the Times Bar and Grill. I mean, it just is completely two completely different worlds. Anyway, it was a fun lunch. I'm glad we went. My daughter told me about it, and I was intrigued. I haven't been intrigued enough to go up to this point. It's also been a horrifying couple of weeks here, so that's part of it. But I'm glad that we were able to finally make it there, because it's noteworthy. It's worth talking about. And I'm glad that I have it to talk about today, because I won't say significant. I don't know its fate, but it's certainly a wonderful addition to the scene on the North Shore. I like Bar Marilou. I don't like the Peacock Room. And I like this place. But they're all of the same kind of arresting ilk. Kind of like Jack Rose, it arrests you when you walk in. The difference in all of these places is that Jack Rose, after it gets your attention with its bizarre environment, which I don't like, kind of like on the Peacock Room plane, Bar Marilou and this place, they're more sedate. They're French. They're both French. One is more vintage French, Bar Marilou. This one is modern French. And they're really interesting places. But the food could get better. I hope that the food does get better. I feel like the food will get better. That's what I want to say. I feel like the food will get better. 556-9696 is the number. We've been talking a lot about Brennan's lately. None of it very good, I'm sorry to say. We need to go back there. I hope I can get Tom back at some point soon. They opened in 1956 on this day. Well, actually, they didn't open. They moved to their present Royal Street location after 10 years at the corner of Bourbon and Bienville. The landlord there wanted a piece of the thriving business, and Owen Brennan rejected the offer. The new place was an historic building. It was the former house of the chess grandmaster Paul Morphy. With its large patio, it had been used as a restaurant for quite a few years, but without success. Can you imagine a house that size in the French Quarter? Owen's friends tried to talk him out of moving there, but none did with the help. But move they did with the help of customers. They met for drinks at the old place, then carried furniture over to Royal Street in a parade led by a marching jazz band. The new restaurant was even more successful than the old. It's hard to imagine Brennan's anywhere but here, which certainly contributed to its return after years of being out of business. It's more beautiful now than it was in its golden years of the 1950s through the 1990s. The story of how Brennan's came to be is an interesting one. I wish I could remember where it was. Tom has it in another almanac, and I'm sure it's on nomenu.com somewhere. But it is interesting, and I wish that I could remember it right now. But it was kind of like a challenge. There was somebody, I think Owen was complaining to somebody about their restaurant. And he said, well, if you think you can do it better, why don't you open a restaurant? And he said, well, I just might. And that's how he did it. But I don't remember who that person was missing from that lore. 556-9696 is the number. We're sort of an odd show today. Normally we have Stan at this time at 3 o'clock at our usual time, but he's, I understand, going to be on at 3:30 with someone, and I don't understand how that's going to work, but we will see. Today in 1957, Lady Godiva took the horseback ride that made her famous. As the tale goes, she did so to pay off a challenge with her husband, Lord Leofric. He said he had lower taxes if she'd ride in her birthday suit in the middle of Coventry Town. I was about to say, what kind of a husband does that? And then Tom just wrote, some husband. I wonder why she was chosen as the name for Godiva chocolates. Despite the name on the famous American chocolate sampler, Walt Whitman, who was born today in 1819, had no connection with chocolates. Let's see, do I like it or not? I think I do like, as a matter of fact, I really do like Godiva chocolates. Really, really do. Mary Lee used to work there many years ago. Poor Mary Lee. I was always kind of trying to help her get jobs. I think I got her first several jobs, but that was one of them. I was in there and they needed help. And I said, do you need help? Because I know somebody that needs a job. And so she had the job like the next day. I think she may never have forgiven me for it because I think it was right around Christmas time and it was pretty crazy. I don't remember what year that was, but she worked there briefly. And they had that, what is it? Do they have a monthly program or something where if you're in some kind of club, you get a free chocolate every month? But it was an interesting experience, and we got to sample a lot more chocolate, mainly by picking her up and that sort of thing. Not that I got it free, I want to make that clear. But I was there, you know what I mean? When I wouldn't ordinarily be there. And I would see something, I'd go, oh, you know, that looks pretty good. And she'd go, ah, no, it's not good. Or, oh, that's really good. So I did sample more than my share, I think, of Godiva chocolates. And so did she. And I don't know how long she worked there. I just probably repressed the memory. But I might ask her that this evening. I have a report to give her on Odelia Will Trade Stories. But Lady Godiva is in the almanac today, which brings me to Godiva chocolates, which is never really too far from my mind. Now I'm thinking I might like to have some of that. 556-9696 is the number. If you want to talk to me, I would love to talk to you. We're here on The Food Show. We'll be back after the news from Louisiana Radio Network. It is 3:30. Stay with us.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Jeff Palermo. A super PAC called Reboot Louisiana has produced an ad that alleges violent crime has increased with Jeff Landry as Louisiana's Attorney General. Reboot Louisiana supports fellow Republican Stephen Wagaspak in the race. Political analyst Bernie Pinsonat says the October 14th primary is 5.5 months away, and the gloves are coming off.
The contents of the ads isn't important to me. What's important to me is that it's amazing that you have a Republican this early attacking the front runner.
The Landry campaign has responded by announcing endorsements from 8 sheriffs and district attorneys. LSU baseball is getting ready to host its first NCAA baseball regional since 2019. Coach Jay Johnson says playing postseason ball at the box was the goal before the season started.
These guys haven't had an opportunity to do that, meaning the players in our program. There's great history here of hosting, and we've played well here.
Louisiana Radio Network.
Do you remember recess? Our children may not, because our kids are busy learning how to take a standardized test. One size fits all. That's what teachers must teach, the LEAP test. So it's hard to get kids onto the playground to learn citizenship, responsibility, and character. These things can be the difference between an auto mechanic and a car thief. Experts know kids do better when you let them be kids, but our experts don't. They make teachers teach a test. Meanwhile, we're 2,500 teachers short because we don't pay them or let them do their jobs. So pay them. Let them do their jobs. While we're at it, let's provide farm fresh food to kids at school. Our farms have an abundance, our kids need the nutrition, and our schools already make meals. My name is Hunter Lundy. I paid for this ad because I'm running for governor. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and an independent. Exercise, life skills, teachers who teach, and farm fresh food. Why not?
Donate your vehicle and make a difference. WGSO 990 AM has partnered with Charitable Adult Rides and Services, also known as CARS, to allow you the opportunity to donate your car, truck, motorcycle, RV, or boat to our nonprofit organization. You may qualify for a tax deduction while supporting a cause that is near and dear to your heart. Simply go to WGSO.com and follow the link on our homepage. Vehicle donation pickup is always free to you, and most vehicles can be picked up within 24 to 72 hours. You'll receive an initial car donation receipt upon pickup, and then the CARS team will work to turn your car into cash to support our cause. Once your vehicle is sold, the CARS team will provide you proper tax forms in time to file. Their friendly donor support representatives are available 7 days a week to assist throughout the process. Again, for more information, go to WGSO.com.
I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too.
All righty, we are back. 556-9696 is the number. Okay, I finally remember this story. So Stan is calling at 3, as he always does. And this person that we have at 3:30, his name is Dan Reed, is somehow connected to the Stinkies bunch in Florida. Somehow. I'm still not clear. Stan explained it to me, but I spend most of my off-air time circling the drain, so we'll have to get it explained again for me to get with the program. All right, so back to Odelia. So I think that this is going to be an interesting little place that I am really happy to have as a fun little different place. If you're a part of a date, you know, if you've got a significant other and you like hanging in sexy places and having a cool kind of sexy date, that is a great place to do it. Great place to do it. But like I said, that's that doesn't describe my life all that well. 556-9696 is the number if you would like to talk to me. I would really like to talk to you. Patty, did we talk about crepinettes yesterday? I don't know. I wish I could stop talking to Patty. She's going to answer. You would think after a week and a half that I would stop doing that, but no. No. All right. Crepinette. It's French. I'm trying to decide if I did or did not. I know I read this, but I don't think I did. It's not a small crepe, you might be surprised to learn, but a thin, flattened, finely ground sausage. It's often coated with breadcrumbs and cooked in butter to result in what New Orleanians would call a panade sausage patty. Ever had a panade sausage patty? I don't think I have. Crepinettes are also covered with cull fat and used to stuff game birds.
You know, I could explain what a call is, and I didn't know what a call is until my daughter was born with a veil, which is what a call is. So it would be the amniotic sac of, I guess, whatever the animal is. Or maybe it's, you know what, it's not for a food show. Anyway, used to stuff game birds, particularly those in need of more fat and moisture. La Russe Gastronomique says that it's not uncommon for truffles to be included in a crepinette mixture. As far as Tom can tell, crepinettes and crepes never come together. Dommage. It is too bad. But they could come together, because it kind of reminds me of those things I've been making for Tom to get him to eat, which is my little puff pastry with cheese and sausage in it without the sausage. I've been doing just the plain cheese. But those are, if I do say so myself. Let's go to Mike, and I hope I can hear him. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Hello.
I can hear you.
I'm glad you can hear me.
Me too. Go ahead.
Well,
hey, that's so weird. It's gone now.
I didn't think the culinary world could get any dumber than it already is, but it looks like we're headed to new terrain.
But you were wrong, huh?
24 carat gold leaf covered steaks. Can you believe that?
Yes. Can't you?
Did you see it in NOLA.com?
No, but can't you believe it?
It's just ridiculous.
I wish I didn't. I've said this before, and I will say it again. When people ask me how Tom is, I say, you know, this is never a good thing. It's a horrible thing, of course. But I think if Tom had his wits about him right now, in the world that we live in, and the way it has affected something as basic as culinary tastes, he would be profoundly depressed. Because it was all about what was delicious to Tom. And honestly, I kind of feel like that's last on the list now for most places. Not most. Well, I'm sorry, not most. You know, thank God, not most.
If you don't think you eat with your eyes first, just try to eat something other than popcorn, perhaps, in the dark. And you'll realize that the visual aspect of eating is incredibly important to the overall pleasure factor.
Sure.
And just the idea of looking at a piece of meat with gold leaf on it, I would never be able to put a fork on it. I mean, it would be such a turnoff. I just cannot imagine.
Well,
It'll really be interesting to see how long this place survives.
Yeah, it will be. It will be.
And you know, you've brought up more than a few times, or at least a few times, that the whole thing with the music, well, this is not going to be background music. This is going to be DJ music. So while you're eating your gold-covered steak, you can probably listen to some techno music or rap or whatever. You know, then you know it's not going to be classical or Sinatra. I mean, I just don't know the market that they're catering to here. I mean, what are they thinking? What are they thinking?
Well, like Tom will say, or would have said, they can have my share. What can I say? Mike, you would like this place, Odelia, I think. I think you might.
Sounds like the kind of place where it's more about moving the asparagus around on the plate while you're holding court.
There's probably a good wine list. It's like a date place. It's a good date place. Anyway,
always use a good date place.
There you go. You see?
All right, that's all I got. Bye.
All right, bye. 556-9696 is the number. Has anyone been to Odelia? Mike was talking about a place that was, I guess, written up in NOLA.com today.
have to look at it. Giva. Let me see the name of it. It is a place where there's supposed to be a gold leaf covered steak. Yeah, I know. I know. The name of the place is Gaia. Gaia, a new age steakhouse. Okay, then. No, let me look and see where the other locations are. I'm guessing Vegas for sure. Maybe place. I'm trying to think if it's the place that I read about a couple of months ago. I think it might be, but I wasn't interested enough in it to find out any more about it. But let's see. I'm looking up to see if there are other locations. And yeah, it looks like there's a few. Columbus, Ohio? Yeah, I don't understand. All right. Gaia Steakhouse. Let's see the number of locations they already have. I guess we should feel honored that a place like that would be coming here. We don't have the population, but it's going to be interesting, I think. Let's see. It doesn't have other locations. So maybe they're actually putting one of the first here. Interesting. Anyway, I'll read a little bit more about it. And I will talk about it when we come back after the news. But then we have Stan and then Dan Reed. So maybe after the break. It looks like nice quality beef, you know. So it's good looking stuff. I want to say it reminds me a little bit of... just from the pictures, it reminds me a little bit of the Fogo de Chão. Very beefy, makes a statement with the beef and the bones and all that. I don't know. Interesting. Kind of. Oh, gosh. What a world. All right. I want to mention before we break that if you are looking to cool off, as you might very well be, it is a really warm day today. We have for, let's see, 1905. Gosh, we are coming up on, you know what? I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to embarrass myself. 125 years. Like, it's like 123 years. Does that make sense? No, 118 years of deliciousness. With Angelo Brocato. Angelo Brocato came over here in 1905 with a wave of other Italian immigrants, and he brought with him two recipes from the old country. One was Torrentino, vanilla ice cream with almond chips, and the other one was granita, or lemon ice, and also the espresso cappuccino maker that you see all over Italy. If you go into Angelo Brocato in its new location, and by new I mean since the 80s, at 214 North Carrollton, you will see the big espresso cappuccino maker and so many other things now. The product line includes their freshly made cannoli with the soft ricotta in the hard shell rolled in pistachios made fresh on the cannoli line every Wednesday. They have their tiramisu. They have spumoni, either the slice. Scoopable version, all different flavors of real Italian gelato with the real Italian flavorings, the little fig cookies with the seeds, strudel, let's see, strudel, and I don't know, Patty likes another one that I can't think of right now. They have the Baba Rum Cake, which is kind of an elusive New Orleans favorite dessert. So many things at Angelo Brocato, but in addition to that, they have an old world atmosphere that's utterly unique. Going in there, soak it all up, have some delicious Italian dessert treat, and remember how special it is and how lucky we are to have Angelo Brocato right here at 214 North Carrollton. We'll be back after this.
Mandeville Seafood has been a local favorite, serving their house-made roast beef po' boys, seafood po' boys, and even a French fry po' boy in a fast, casual environment. Here is an extensive menu of salads and sandwiches and fried seafood, baskets and platters, as well as sides like stuffed artichokes, meat pies, and jalapeno cheese bites. And we love the very attentive service here at Mandeville Seafood Restaurant and Market, celebrating 25 years.
I get misty just holding your hand.
Thank you, Tom. 556-9696 is the number. I'm so glad that the crackling has gone away, but I wish that Patty would come back, because Patty is texting me these little notes that she would be saying to me, which are very helpful, but I don't always see them. So I was wondering if I had talked about Crepinette. She said you didn't, but I just saw that I didn't. I'd already gone through it anyway. Let's see. The old kitchen sage says, the best way to melt 1 ounce chocolate squares in the microwave is to leave them in the wrappers and let them get zapped for 30 seconds at a time until they're soft. The wrappers will hold them intact even after they're melted. I think the best way to melt chocolate is in a little, well, I don't use it because that would be another gadget in the kitchen. But I have these I have these metal bowls that go over some pot of water, and those work just fine. I remember when Mary Lee was a youngster and she had just started baking. She's always loved to bake. She started baking with her dad. They would make biscuits together, and it was a weekly ritual for them to make biscuits together. It was really cute. And the baking just sort of took on a life of its own, and she just, you know, started baking all kinds of stuff. But we always used baker's chocolate here. And I remember trying to siphon it off just as a snack, but it was never very good. It was way, way too dark at that time for me. But we haven't used baker's chocolate in a long time. Does anybody still use baker's chocolate as a melting chocolate? Things. I'm almost intrigued enough to go and buy some and do it, because it's been around a long time. I would assume it's a very good chocolate. It's probably a really good chocolate. But then Mary Lee started to get into all the really fancy stuff, you know, Guittard and Valrhona and all of those. And sometimes the old standbys are actually really, really good when you go back to them and compare them. They do hold up. So now I'm a little bit intrigued by that. I'm planning to do a little baking my own self here. I went into the refrigerator to get what I thought was cream cheese that I'd had for a while, and I discovered that it wasn't cream cheese, it was sour cream, which then made me think I've got to use this sour cream for something. So I thought about a sour cream coffee cake that is yummy, absolutely yummy, from my favorite cookbook from way back when, the one that's got all the oils and chocolate melted on it, and it's just one of those cookbooks that you know you use a lot because it's messy. Well, I mean, other people might not have those kind of cookbooks, but people like me certainly do. And so it's called The Home Cooking Sampler, from a woman named Peggy Glass, and it's been my go-to. It's my joy of cooking. And so it's where I've gotten so many recipes over the years. And I noticed there was a peanut butter cookie recipe in there today, which I haven't tried, and I may have to do that. But anyway, I'm going to make the sour cream coffee cake for Tom this evening. And it is super simple. It's just essentially a coffee cake. You know, for somebody who doesn't, well, A, coffee, and B, eat sweets, generally speaking, I actually really do like this coffee cake. It's really, really good. It's got a streusel topping with walnuts and brown sugar, and it is a really pretty flavor of the cake from the sour cream, and it's good. I'm probably going to eat way too much of that, I'm sorry to say. Anybody remember the really wonderful series, Cooks Illustrated, Cooks Magazine? I want to say that it's the same operation, but it may not be. I remember in the early days of the food show, Tom had Christopher Kimball on with this new publication that he had. And it wasn't all that new. By the time the food show started, the publication was about 10 years old because it started in 1980. I didn't realize it was that old. But I remember we have all of the Cook's books here, and they're really great books. I mean, they're like encyclopedias for people who want to cook and want to know about the science of it and all that. Anyway, Tom says it was very different in style and tone from previous food publications and caught a lot of attention while never quite becoming successful. It was bought by a larger publisher, and in 1989 was folded into Gourmet and disappeared. In 1993, Kimball tried the idea and the title again, but with new twists on no advertising and no articles not directly related to cooking. No travel or lifestyle articles, no restaurant reviews. That made for smaller magazines and a much smaller circulation than is typical for a national food magazine. But Cook's unique, intensive style gathered an enthusiastic readership. These days, it seems that Cook's Illustrated publishes cookbooks more often than it does magazines. The magazine itself comes out only every 2 months or so. I don't know if Tom even, I don't know if that's still around or if Tom, I'm sure he stopped subscribing to it, but I don't know that it's even still around. But the books we have are really beautiful. Let's go to George. Hey, George, is your clock wrong?
Hey, Tom and Marianne. No, my clock's not wrong. I know you got two guests coming up. So
yes,
Everything changes.
Okay.
I wanted to call bad yesterday so bad, but you said don't call, so I didn't call.
Oh. So what you got for us?
Well, I was really enjoying that conversation with the guy talking about the Chinese restaurant. I wish it would have stayed on a little longer.
Yeah.
But I know that
we're going to get him back because that wasn't fair to him. Yeah. But I couldn't hold a conversation with someone when I heard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's wasting people's time. But look,
right.
Yeah, I was just reminiscing 70s and 80s. You know, Chinese, and even the 90s, all the way to Katrina, how that New Orleans had a lot of Chinese restaurants. You know, if I was in Fat City, they had one in Fat City. If I was on Veterans around Lakeside, they had Lee's. You know, if I was on Robert Lee and Pontchartrain Boulevard, you know, they had a little Chinese restaurant there. They had Imperial on Carrington, by Half a New Chinese kitchen. There was everywhere, Elysian Fields, Legion Fields and Fillmore and Veterans. I mean, they had them everywhere. I remember we had a real good selection. Wherever I was at, I just looked at that certain location. Now, they only for me, there's only two that I go to, and it's Chinese Kitchen and China Dog. And I could see where they have, you know,
Well, he was related to both of those. Yeah, he was related to both of them.
I heard about that about a year ago by my neighbor across the street. And I said, you know what? They food do resemble each other. But I still like Chinese Kitchen better. And I live in Algeria, so when I'm up there, I still come up to Carrollton. But push come to shove, I go to China Dog. And I used to like Five Happenese, but I think they must have new owners because...
They do.
I know
they do.
The last 12 years, and I've been going there since like 80. Mm-hmm. Chinese Kitchen, I've been doing Chinese Kitchen since like 88, like 35 years. But the food got greasy by Five Happenese. The only way I go to Five Happenese is if I just can't wait till Monday because China Doll and Chinese Kitchen close on Sunday, so I might step in there and get something from them. But I miss that, Marianne. 70s and 80s, 90s, all the way up to Katrina. Mm-hmm. New Orleans had very, very, very good Chinese food back then. I'm glad to hear that he's opening up a new location up there. I definitely going to put that out. And I just had Chinese kitchen for lunch about 20 minutes ago.
The power of the food show. Yeah.
I sound like one of the callers. I haven't heard him in a while. But and then, look, I tried the egg rolls. I haven't had the egg rolls in, like, Lord, 20 years. Delicious. They got shrimp in them. They was real, real big. You know, two of them, I mean, I think two of them were homemade. they had the pork and they had the shrimp.
Well, he said they've changed too, didn't he? I couldn't really hear too much what he was saying, but I think he said that Chinese Kitchen was sold recently also. Didn't he say that?
I think that was his uncle that sold it recently.
Yeah.
But when he said that, I'm like, well, it's the new owners that didn't change the food. I hope they don't change it because that's the way it's been for 35 years from what I remember all the way when I was 18, you know.
You know, George, you and Alan remind me of each other. The only difference in you and Alan is that you made it back. But you're both as enthusiastic. What?
Thank God.
You're both as enthusiastic as the other, but one of you is here and one of you is not. Alan's crying if he's listening now. He's starting to cry. Go ahead, what?
Oh, I know. I told my wife we'll retire like in Picayune, 50 minutes away from New Orleans. It's kind of hard to find a city like this here with the food and just the stuff to do it.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. You know, just let it be small place. You can just do different stuff all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of hard to beat. And but hey, thank God for New Orleans.
There you go.
I'm glad I'm part of it.
I'm glad that you're part of this show, George. I always enjoy your calls. I know that I'm going to get them at a certain time. Go ahead, what?
Enjoy listening to y'all. And I'm going to tell you, you're a very, very great wife to Tom. everybody don't do what you do for him. And, you know, to be there for him and to cater to him.
Thank you, George.
And then to take over his spot with this food show. Everybody can do that. But I took my hat off to you. You're a great wife. Talk to you
Thank you, George. You don't see me in my darker moments. Anybody who wants to canonize me, and a lot of people do, you don't see me in my dark moments. So this is a fun thing. This is a good little respite. What?
Look, we all have them, but the evidence, you take them here, take them there, you take care of them. Talk to you
Thank
later.
You. Thank you, George. Evening. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Alan, stop crying. You'll get back here eventually. I felt bad saying that. I hope he's not listening. All right, we have Stan coming up at the top of the hour, and we are going to, you know, just chat about his adventures because he always has great adventures. Maybe he will be able to tell us something about his various competitions. And then we have Dan Reed, who is a friend of his, an author, and a chef, I believe. And we'll explain. He'll explain it all for the next hour. But stay with us for more of the food show. If I don't get to it, I'll say something real quick. Today is the day that Lee and Perrins got trademarked, which was a wonderful thing for people who like to cook. It's a really tasty, tasty little condiment. And that's coming from a person who, if they really knew what was in it, probably wouldn't want to eat it. But it is really delicious, and I'm glad I don't really think about that. Usually I do think about other stuff too much, but I haven't thought about that, and that's probably a good thing. All right, we are barreling our way to the top of the hour news from the Louisiana Radio Network. Dan will be in to...
That's why we always look forward to him on Wednesday. WGSO New Orleans, it's time for the news. Louisiana Radio Network, 3 o'clock.
USA News. I'm John Schaefer. A vote on the bill to suspend the nation's debt ceiling for 2 years and cut some government spending is going to be voted on the House floor tonight. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is hopeful some members of his party who don't think it cuts enough spending will come around.
What matters is going to become law. If I'm a member of Congress, I wouldn't want history to pass me by when I could do the biggest cut, when I could do...
The House Freedom Caucus is urging Republicans to vote no on the bill. The top Democrat in the House of Representatives says his party is united in supporting the debt ceiling bill that's coming up for a vote, even though some members are voting no on principle.
But I'm going to support the legislation that is on the floor, and that I support it without hesitation, reservation, or trepidation.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries also praised President Biden for holding the line in negotiations with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. A woman who accused Joe Biden of sexual assault is now moving to Russia. Tara Reid told Russian state media that she feels safe in their country and would seek Russian citizenship. Back in 2020, she accused Biden of sexually assaulting her on the campaign trail in 1993. Biden has denied those claims. Job openings in the U.S. are on the rise. New government data released today shows there were 10.1 million job openings in April. It's the first increase after three straight months of declines. Retail and healthcare led the number of increases in job vacancies. Be prepared. That's the word from President Biden today as we enter hurricane and wildfire season.
And last year, hurricanes and other extreme weather events here in the United States caused over $165 billion in damage.
He added wildfires have destroyed an area almost as large as the state of Maryland. He said money is coming to help the National Forest Service through his Investing in America agenda. This is USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
One person is dead after an explosion at a power plant in Franklin, Texas. Officials with the Oak Grove power plant said a boiler exploded this morning. The victim was found with critical injuries, then later died, Franklin, about 2 hours from Houston. The planned demolition of an Iowa apartment building has been put on hold.
The decision comes as five people remain unaccounted for following the partial collapse on Sunday. That came after officials previously said they didn't believe there were any unaccounted residents still in the building.
We understand that this is an unthinkable situation, especially for the families that are involved and impacted by this event.
Davenport Mayor Mike Mattson said two of the five unaccounted people are believed to be in the building still. A ninth survivor was found on the fourth floor of the building in Davenport on Monday. I'm Skip Kelly.
Two of the laws passed in Oklahoma restricting abortions have been ruled unconstitutional by that state's Supreme Court. The high court ruled against the bills, which would have prohibited doctors from performing abortions at any point in a...
Generally, a more stable atmosphere overhead today. That area of low pressure off the Louisiana-Mississippi coast continues to meander around and gradually shift eastward, taking with it the best moisture to produce the rains. Middle 80s for our highs, fall to lows tonight in the 60s to low 70s. Then tomorrow, widely scattered storms with the highs in into the mid 80s should top upper 80s as we go into the upcoming weekend, as well as near 90 Saturday and Sunday. Isolated afternoon storms daily. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
Hot air balloon shows, live entertainment, food, arts, and craft vendors, a rodeo Saturday night, and fun activities all weekend long for the kids. The annual Bogalusa Balloon Festival, June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 5 to 10 Friday, noon to 10 Saturday, noon to 5 Sunday, at Washington Parish Fairgrounds, Franklinton, Louisiana. The annual Bogalusa Balloon Festival. Follow our Facebook page for schedule details and more info.
Yeah.
Let's talk about America. Not taxes or tweets or the issues that divide us, but how incredible our country is. Left, right, up, down, state lines to winding coastlines. Whether you come home to a crowded city street, tree-lined suburb, or sleepy small town, everyone deserves to live in a clean, green, and thriving community. And we all share in the responsibility to create beauty that ripples from one neighborhood to another and one block to the next. We are Keep America Beautiful, the nonprofit working with millions of people just like you to end littering, improve recycling, and beautify our communities. Because every mindful action and sustainable habit has a positive impact, and it all adds up. Learn how you can join Keep America Beautiful at KAB.org. Together, we can do beautiful things.
Well, let's start again. It's the Food Show, the second hour, the second course. I'm Marianne Fitzmaurice. We have Stan with us, who is always here on Wednesday. We look forward to it because we know he's going to have some adventure to tell us about. Hello there.
Hi, Marianne. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah, to you too. What you been up to?
Well, it was Memorial Day weekend, which is always a good weekend here at the High Water Ranch. But before that, like I said last week, I wanted to go check out the Havana Outpost.
Oh,
and at the
yeah, how
the
was that?
Border. What a cool little place. it was really a good place. It's in an old pharmacy.
Yeah.
And apparently they spent a lot of time building it because they built all these eco-eating and cool systems. Apparently the Eco Park even runs their daiquiri machines. But it did not taste any different, except it made me feel good that maybe I was helping the environment out. Just a very, very small amount, I'm sure. But yeah, it was really cool. They make you get their corn.
They make you get their corn.
Yep, I didn't order it, and I told them what I wanted. I was there with a guest, and we had the Cuban sandwich and a couple tacos. And they said, "Well, what about the corn?" I said, "No, I think I'm going to pass on that today." And they said, "No, you have to get the corn. It's world famous." And I said, "I just can't always get everything world famous. What makes it world famous?" They're like, "Well, we've got
the fact that they make you get it
in Tokyo." So I got it, and it was wonderful.
Wait, what was it that makes it world famous?
They have a restaurant in Dubai and in Tokyo also.
Oh.
But she wasn't going to process my order until I ordered the corn.
Well, did he pick up the corn, or did you have to pay for it?
Oh, no, I had to pay for it. That's part of the deal. I bet if I would have told him I didn't like it, they would have given me my money back.
But okay.
I'll put that on the list when I'm in town to go by there.
Okay. Did you see the poor little sad frogs that are supposed to be subterranean? I don't want to look at the little frogs.
I don't recall. Okay. I don't know. I didn't see any subterranean
poor
frogs.
Poor little frogs.
I would have remembered that. I guess that they come from down under.
I don't know. There's some. Patty could explain. Patty, if you remember the story about the subterranean frogs, text me so I'll remind Stan what they are. Yes, I'm traumatized by the subterranean frogs. Anyway, the food was good. It's a weird little place. So was there a lot? I'm sure there were a lot of people there because they seemed to be doing very well at promoting it.
It was a very busy place. You know, they don't really have tables and chairs. They have picnic tables, which are fine with me. I don't know if I want to see anything that comes subterranean out of the ground. I don't know the word in the French Quarter. Because that's got hundreds of years worth of being put down in the French Quarter.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that. Go back and listen to that interview because the frogs, I remember his water filtration stuff, and I'm thinking, but what about the food? And then he talked about the frogs, and I thought, oh, I don't know about this. Well,
yeah,
I'm glad you liked it. Good.
It was the Cuban was very good. I'm not used to the chipotle mayonnaise on a Cuban sandwich. I prefer mustard it.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It wasn't my favorite. It wasn't my worst ever.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll definitely go back. I recommend it.
Are you going to get the corn again? Oh, I get the corn if you can. You have no choice.
You have no choice. But it's well worth it. You know, we've part of our company is Redfish Taco over in Santa Rosa Beach. And we sell corn. I think I'm going to tell them to start making everybody buy it because they will. And it raises a check every $5.
Oh, gosh. I like it, Stan. Let's see how that works. I mean, apparently it worked on you, so, and it's enough for you to tell us about that. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe all restaurants from now on will have one item they'll identify as something a customer cannot leave without purchasing.
I think it's brilliant. And, you know, there was quite a big line behind me when I was ordering, and I didn't want people giving me a hard time standing up there trying to tell the person I didn't want the corn. Because it's kind of like going to a grocery store and somebody looking for a coupon or something, you know.
Oh, so my gosh. Anyway, well, did everyone else have corn in front of them?
They had no choice.
Okay. All right. All right. Wow.
And they seem to be enjoying it.
Okay. Well, good. Good. My daughter loves that kind of corn. What is it? There's a name for it. It's Mexican street corn, but I forget what they call it.
I can't remember either. And I think we call ours Mexican street corn.
Okay.
At Redford Taco.
Uh-huh. There's another name for it.
Grilled corn.
Okay.
And now I know how they made it. They make people buy it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. I don't know. Beyond that, what did you do for Memorial Day?
We grilled. I made some of my 5-hour St. Louis ribs, and then put it in the oven and put them on the grill for a while, and some chicken and homemade potato salad, and I spent a lot of time in the pool.
Okay, that works. That definitely works.
Didn't do a whole lot for Memorial Day. Except later in and did nothing and ate good. Ate real
good.
Made some pancakes for breakfast. And
Sounds like a wonderful Memorial Day.
That's the best kind. I wish I would have had some peaches to make a peach cobbler, but...
Yeah.
It's going to be a couple more weeks for that.
I went to a Quista Pace today, and I saw peaches in like a little farm basket. And I got all excited for a second thinking, oh, are these like really good farm peaches? But then I smelled them, and there wasn't any smell coming from them. And I touched them, and they were hard. And I went, nope, those are not them. So we'll just keep waiting.
California gas tomatoes.
I've had those peaches that are really peaches. Once you've had a really good peach, you can't eat that stuff. All right, we're going to take a break. We will be back with more from the Food Show with our friend Stan Meadows.
One of my favorite roast beef poor boys isn't a poor boy place at all. DiMartino's is a wonderful restaurant with traditional Italian food and excellent fish and chicken dishes, as well as the muffalettas for which they are known. With 3 locations on the West Bank that are more casual, the Covington restaurant feels upscale with good food and great prices. It's a winner. DiMartino's Covington, Marrero, Algiers, and Terrytown. DiMartino's.com. When you're awake, the things you think come from the dreams you dream. Thought has wings, and lots of things are seldom what they seem.
Oh, boy. Patty just texted me, Stan. You might want to do this, too, saying that tomorrow we have the Ruston Peach Festival folks on the show, and the Peach Festival in Ruston, Louisiana, is this weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
And they have peaches?
Well, they better. It's their festival. peaches.
It's a little early. I went to the Slidell Farmers Market Saturday because somebody was talking about Ollie's tamales, and I was going to get a bunch of tamales to bring out here.
Yeah.
They did not have Alabama peaches.
Oh, no.
And these tamales were sold out already. They sold out, like, within an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, now I want to, now that I've looked at their website, I want a stuffed artichoke, too. So I'm going to have to, you know, get there at the crack of dawn, I guess. All right. But anyway, Stan, I just wanted you to know that because I know what a festival guy you are. And I know, like, you like to jump in your pickup truck or your motorhome. But Rustin, tomorrow, you'll have to listen to the show tomorrow. And we're going to talk to the Rustin Peach Festival folks. All right. Anyway, go ahead.
I may have to get up there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you...
You know, Fred on the on NOLA.com, I heard the caller calling in about the gold flake steak.
Yeah.
And then I read the next article, and they've got robots serving appetizers and Mattery at the Crazy Hot Pot.
At the Crazy
did
what?
Did you read that?
No.
The restaurant called the Don't Crazy Hot Pot.
Wait, is that the place... I think that that is the place that was Andy's Bistro. Is it, Turnbull or Nayray Turnbull, maybe right off Veterans?
Yeah, that's next place to go.
Okay.
You know,
I was... Did you hear the show, Stan, when we were talking to the guy from Tulane? And it was about the robots that deliver food all over the campus. And I just was, you know, rolling my eyes at that. And I was in Santa Monica not long ago, and there was a robot down the street delivering food for someone. And people just didn't even look twice at it. And I'm thinking, oh, God. Anyway, yeah. So the robots that are servers at this hot pot place?
Well, you know, yeah, exactly. They have other servers, but one thing that confuses me is the robots serve the appetizers, but it's like a buffet hot pot kind of place, I guess, because the appetizers are free.
Okay.
They don't charge you extra for this, so the robots don't have to be smart enough to take
tips.
The order and charge for them, I guess, even though I'm sure they are. If they're robots that can serve a...
Crab
Rangoon or whatever.
So are you going now? That's on your list of places to go. Please give us a report.
I am definitely going, and whenever the gold flake place opens, I'm going to go there too. I know that you're not a big drinker, if you're a drinker at all, but there used to be a drink called Goldschlager.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a peppermint schnapps that had gold flakes in it.
I don't know. I can tolerate a little gold flake on a baked good, you know, like a little bit of gold flaking. But I don't know about major. Well, how do you feel about it? Did you like the drink with the gold flakes in it?
It was okay. It would get me in trouble because it was in much younger days, and they had a promotion where they would have shot glasses made out of chocolate, and they would put the Goldschlager in those shot glasses, and then you just ate the shot glass with the Goldschlager. And from what I remember of it, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I was about to say, but not much probably if you had that many. Now, see, that would be a drink I could get into if it was a... If it was a shot glass made of chocolate, then I could get into that kind of drink. Are you going to go to the steak place and have the gold steak?
Yes, I'm going to have to go check it out.
Okay.
I don't know I want to put it at that. They're serving high-end beef.
Yeah,
Wagyu.
The beef looks great. It does.
And I'm sure that they wouldn't do it if it was disgusting or bad.
I don't know, but I can't imagine why you would want to take the beef that I saw in those pictures that looks very high quality, as you just said. Why would you want to coat that in gold leaf? I mean, obviously it's a gimmick, but that can't be appealing to eat. And then that sort of reflects on the rest of the menu, to me, anyway.
Correct. I'm going to look forward to seeing it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll let you see it and tell us about it.
And then I'll let you know about it.
Yeah. All right. So what else is going on? Did they announce the winners?
No, I asked Chef Collin today if it's been announced, and they said they'd announced it like a week before. Mm. So I still don't know.
If you have bragging rights.
I still don't know. Nobody knows. But we'll find out.
Okay.
You know, one thing that's coming out is Ternas is having a summer series of, you know, we were talking about wine tasting as opposed to pairing. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be pairing wine. They're doing the same menu Tuesdays in July on the 13th and on the 27th. And they're going to do a wine pairing. And then Wednesdays in July, which we'll talk about that later, they're doing a tequila. A tequila pairing.
Uh-huh.
Tequila pairing and a local beer pairing, which that should be interesting.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll be good for the economy. It's all going to be local. Yeah. Local beer, not local tequila, because Casamigos, George Clooney doesn't make tequila in New Orleans. I think he probably could have. But the menu looks interesting. Did I lose you?
The Crescent City Steakhouse has been a favorite since the first time I discovered it on Mardi Gras Day. This old-fashioned steakhouse hasn't changed much since it opened in...
Stan?
Hey.
Okay, we're back. Yeah.
Good.
Casamigos, that's where you were.
Yeah, I was talking about George Clooney didn't make tequila in New Orleans, so we couldn't have it local, but it'll still be a good dinner.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I mean, that's primo stuff, right? Or is it just good because it's George Clooney?
I think it's the best because because a lot of it has to do with marketing. It's not a horrible tequila. But it's certainly not the best. They sold the company for over $1 billion. Yeah. So I guess there's something to it.
Yeah.
But the beer is all coming from NOLA Brewery.
So
I'll probably definitely attend that one, that dinner.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you have a celebrity involved in anything, that automatically ups the price. I mean, it probably wouldn't have sold for nearly that much if it wasn't two celebrities involved in it. So, you know, you can't really tell if it's quality or not and what the celebrity factor is. But I wouldn't know the difference because I don't drink tequila. Actually, I do drink tequila, and then I always regret it later because for some reason tequila makes me drunker than anything else imaginable. I wonder why that is, but it really is.
But I think tequila is supposed to make you a happy drunk.
Yeah.
As opposed to brown liquor. So,
as opposed to what?
Brown liquor.
Oh. Is that right? Like is that like a fact?
That's a fact.
Really?
I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that would have to agree with that.
Huh.
But yeah, tequila makes you happy, I guess, especially if you sell your company for $1 billion. The only thing I care about with tequila, especially when I buy tequila for the restaurants, is that it's bottled in Mexico.
Okay.
But a lot of people, a lot of companies will buy tequila and tanker truck it up to the United States and then bottle it in the United States. But for the Mexican farmer, the money's in the bottling of it.
Okay. Huh. Well, that's interesting to know and good to know. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because that's the kind of thing that you should be mindful of, I think. All right, what else is going on at Ternas? Things are okay over there these days?
It's been very busy for this time of the year, especially. Hopefully that stays up with it.
Good. When does it start? When does that kick in?
New valet will be starting next week.
Okay. All right. Well, good, because it's a delicious restaurant, and anything that will get locals in, whatever you do, I think is a good thing, because people need to go there. It's yummy. And once you, let's see, NAFI is what, the 7th of June?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, well, they should be announcing their stuff pretty soon, I would say. Get you some new things to put on the menu. Yeah. All right. Now, Stan, tell us about your friend who's coming on. You can introduce the next guest who, well, we don't really consider you a guest. You're just part of the show. So tell us about your friend who is, right, is he a, he's, just tell us about him. I'm not clear on this.
Jeff Dan Reed. And where he's connected with our company, Chef Todd, who he's been on the show several times, and Chef Dan worked together 30, 35 years ago under one of 80 master chefs in the United States at the government, the Governor's Club in Tallahassee. And they stayed together as friends all these years, and you know, 30, 35 years being a chef, he's seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And apparently, and I read the book that he wrote. It's a good read. It's an easy read. It's 50 Things to Know About Being a Chef. And apparently there's a series, and I'm interested in finding out all about that. There's also a book, 50 Things to Know About Being a, you need to know about becoming a school teacher, about being a lawyer. And
so it's like a series.
Trades. Yes. So different trades are writing that, and
I see.
Okay. They wanted to come on and talk about it, and I thought maybe that you would find that interesting.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. All right, so is he, now he wrote the chef one?
Yes.
Okay.
He wrote the chef one, and Chef Todd wrote the foreword to it.
Okay.
So that's why Chef Todd's going to be joining him.
Oh, good. Okay, so we have Chef Todd and Chef Dan on.
Yes.
Okay, now let me get this straight. So the troops in Florida, the corporate folks, there's Jim Richard and Chef Todd. Now, Jim and Todd are both the tastemakers for your operation, aren't they?
Correct.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure. And are they partners?
Yep.
Okay.
And they're my business partners in Trinidad.
Yes. Right. Okay. So Jim and Todd started Stinkies together.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And you were you in the original folks of Stinkies, or did you come along? You were. Okay.
No, I'm not one of the co-founders of the company
of Stinkies. Okay. And
yeah.
All right. Okay, and then, but at COVID, you just kept your portion of Trinas.
Yes.
Okay, so that you could go out on the road and then become a radio reporter of food trails.
Yes, and I still try to hang on to my comp food benefit at Stinkies and Redfish Taco.
I'm sure you do. So we didn't even ask you about how your last visit was at in Florida at Stinkies, but we don't really have time right now because we have to go into the news, and then we're going to come back and talk to Chef Dan, and I guess the whole time Chef Todd, or just every now and then? They're both going to be on at the same time, the whole time?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. We are talking to Stan Meadows, and soon after the news, we will be talking to Chef Todd and Chef Dan Reed about a book called
Louisiana Radio Network. I'm Brooke Thorington. The statewide average for a gallon of regular gasoline is $3.13, $1.10 cheaper than the same time last year. AAA fuel analyst Don Redmond says crude oil prices are under $70 a barrel, and drivers should budget between $3.25 and $3.50 a gallon for the remainder of the summer.
But I think certainly for the short term, I think we could be looking at potentially $3 a gallon gasoline.
State-issued driver's license and ID cards could soon advertise the crisis lifeline of 988 that's available for people who are struggling with mental health, thanks to a Senate-approved bill. In 2021, Louisiana had more than 680 suicides. Karen Stubbs with the Office of Behavioral Health with the Louisiana Department of Health oversees 988.
24-hour, 7-day-a-week toll-free hotline with just three numbers, 988. It is free. It is confidential. It is available to everyone in Louisiana at any time they need it.
Senate Bill 34 heads to the House floor for final passage. LRN.
Hey, y'all, it's festival season. Here's what's on tap. June 2nd and 3rd, Walker Percy Weekend in St. Francisville. June 2nd through 4th, Guy's Balmange Festival, Bogalusa Balloon Festival, and Cajun Heritage Festival in La Rose. And June 3rd, Louisiana Peach Festival in Ruston. So make your plans to Laissez-les Bon Temps Relais.
This is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Plan your road trip at LouisianaIsATrip.com.
Medicaid members, keep your address and phone number up to date to make sure you receive important information about your health insurance and you don't risk losing your coverage. If you get a letter from Louisiana Medicaid, follow the directions and respond to it as soon as possible. For questions or to update your info, call the number on your insurance card or visit healthy.la.gov. That's healthy.la.gov. Remember, keep your contact information up to date and respond to Medicaid letters so you don't lose your health care coverage.
Does your business need help with print, signs, or marketing? Partner with Sir Speedy. We have more than 50 years of know-how and a proven track record that goes into every project. Our specialists will work with you on everything from print collateral and direct marketing campaigns to signage, both indoor and outdoor. Call Sir Speedy and let us know how we can help at 504-586-9812 or visit us online at SirSpeedyNewOrleans.com. Sir Speedy, if you need it, we do. It.
What does grace mean to you? At Grace at the Green Light, a 501c3 nonprofit, we believe that everyone deserves a hot meal, clean drinking water, and the chance to go home again. Our work is made possible through the generous support of Faubourg Private Wealth, which provides holistic financial planning tailored for your family. Find out more at fpwa.com.
When you're awake, the things you think come from the dreams you dream. Thought has wings, and lots of things are never what they seem.
Thank you, Tom. We are back with the very last half hour of the Food Show. I'm Marianne Fitzmorris, and the gang is all here. We have the two guys from Florida. We have Chef Todd and Chef Dan Reed, and we have Stan, our friend, who is kind of in Florida and kind of here. He's here now. And they're all together to talk about a book and, I guess, collaborating just in general. So, hey, guys. Very glad that you're here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hey. All right, so Dan, how did this come about? It sounds like it's part of a series. So did someone approach you to do this 50 ways? What is it, 50 ways to be a chef?
50 things to know about being a chef.
50 things to know
about being
a chef, okay.
And, you know, the 2023 is an amazing place at times for certain reasons. And one of those ways is you can find freelance kind of work pretty much anywhere. And that's how this came to be. Someone was saying, hey, I'm a book publisher and I want a book, 50 things to know about being a chef. I said, well, you know, I think I know 50 things to know about being a chef. So I can write about that.
So, all right, so tell us about your collaboration, first of all, with Chef Todd. Did you all work together a long time ago, and you still work together, or tell us about that?
Well, I was thinking that it goes back, my math can't be right. I went to an American school, so it could very well be wrong. But yeah. Back in the 1990s, Todd and I worked together at a place in Tallahassee called the Governor's Club. And we worked for Jack Shoup, who was a certified master chef. Now, it's not my story to tell, but I do know that Jim and Jack did work together or knew each other. And I was teaching culinary school in Tallahassee at the time and ended up securing a job as Todd's sous chef at the club for a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay. And then are you part of the Stinkies team also right now? Or
I'm not. My affiliation with, well, I don't have any association. Yeah, I can't speak. I don't have any association.
You're just
with,
buddies.
Just buddies. Brothers.
Okay.
As it were.
Okay, so Yes. All right. So you work currently where?
Well, I live in Oregon, very, very far away from Florida. And I got to tell you, I heard the commercial, $3 a gallon for gas. Yes, please. Some places here in Oregon are over $4 a gallon for gas.
Yeah.
So I will be. So, so
how long have you been in Oregon?
6 years.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's so many things that are so vastly different that gas is probably the most benign difference between Oregon and Florida. So, our gas
prices.
The one
that impacts me the most on a daily basis.
Okay, so how did you wind up in Oregon?
Well, my wife got a job teaching and doing what she does here. So she's a behavior analyst, and it's a long gory. It's not gory at all, but it's a. Anyway, so there's an opportunity here for her.
Okay.
And we said, well, you know, this is a big step for you, so we should do that.
Okay. So are you just writing now, or are you actually working in a kitchen somewhere?
Well, I'm writing. I wrote this book. I have a blog. I also am. This one was kind of fast because the things I know about being a chef would just kind of just flew out of my fingertips.
Yeah,
I'm working on another one that's requiring a little bit more precision and verification of details.
Uh-huh.
It's going much slower. It's 50 things to know about baking, pastry, and confections.
Uh-huh.
So
you have a new gig,
part,
it sounds like.
It looks like I do. I wouldn't mind being an author at all. That would be good.
Yeah.
A paid author.
Well, it's a lot less hard on your feet, that's for sure, you know, than being a chef.
Yeah, you know, and knees.
Yeah.
Knees and ankles.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so tell us about the 50 things about being a chef.
Well, you know, it started as, these are the things that I know, and then I started adding, well, these are the things I think I wish I knew. We're going to have a dog barking in a minute because the mailman's here. He's posing a very dear threat to the house.
I know exactly about that. Fortunately, the mailman is not coming right now here. But anyway, go ahead.
So it started working into what is the thing that I never had when I was getting into food? In any craft or trade, it's probably true, maybe even in radio, well, you don't know about this. Well, you'll find out. Well, yeah,
baptism
but that's
not, by fire.
It's not actionable. That's not useful information. It's just an elitist position that doesn't give me something to go with. And I want to minimize that. So what do I need to know about shoes? Well, shoes are really important. We just talked about that. If you have bad shoes in the kitchen, your whole body is going to make you pay for that. It's not just your feet, it's your back, it's everything.
Right.
You slouch. It's like this. So there's some really fundamental things. There's food costs. Well, you don't think that the salad guy has to pay attention to food costs, but I can tell you the owner is paying attention to the salad guy who isn't paying attention to food costs.
Mm-hmm.
So
those
are things that really matter, and they matter in important ways.
Yeah. What are some of the other things? Because those are basic fundamental things. When you think of 50 things about being a chef, you automatically go to food, but it doesn't sound like you're going to food much. It sounds like you're just talking practicalities.
There's a lot of practicality. And so knives. Now, there's almost no limit to what you can spend on a chef knife. But it really needs to be. From a practical standpoint, buying $1,000 knife to go into a kitchen is a waste of $800. You're going to spend a couple hundred dollars on a really good knife. You can get some really useful knives for less than that. So there's a discussion about knives and the discussion about what are the metals? Are they soft? Are they hard? How should you sharpen it? What should you know? How many knives do you need? As it happens, I think I have about 50. that you don't
need. Oh, wow. Really?
Huh. Well, you know, I have a knife specifically for cutting smoked fish, smoked salmon. It's a $200 knife. I don't use it at home, I can assure you that. So if you don't deal in cold smoked fish, well, you don't really have a reason to buy that. So the things you need to have versus the things that are fun to have, well, there's a big difference. And
so, Chef Todd.
I'm sorry, I lost you there a little bit. A glitch there. Did we lose y'all?
Hey, Chef Todd, man, this is Stan. Marianne, I think you maybe
hey, guys, we had this problem. Are you all there?
We're here.
Yeah. We're here. Yes.
Okay. Actually, you're not where you need to be. I've discovered we were having some problems. First of all, at the station, and then here. It's wrong now as I see this little cord. If I touch it or get anywhere close to it, that's what happens. Can you all hear me?
Yes,
I hear you.
Okay, except you're, all right. Anyway, Patty, does this sound bad because they're not where they should be, if that makes sense? Oh, I can't talk to Patty. That's been another thing that we've had going on this week. All right. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and take a break early, and then I want to come back and I want to talk to Chef Todd. Todd, I want you to think about how you all collaborated all. I would assume that you ran some of these things by Todd since you're old friends. And I just want to know how close Dan came. Did he get it all right? We'll be right back after this.
Mandeville's food has been a local favorite, serving their house-made roast beef po' boys, seafood po' boys, and even a French fry po' boy in a fast, casual environment. Here is an extensive menu of salads and sandwiches and fried seafood, baskets and platters, as well as sides like stuffed artichokes, meat pies, and jalapeno cheese bites. And we love the very attentive service here at Mandeville Seafood Restaurant and Market, celebrating 25 years.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madame, with you.
Chef Todd and with Chef Dan Reed, who is the author of a book called 50, say it again, because I don't have it written down, and I'm not going to remember it. Say it again. 50 things to know as a chef.
About being a chef.
50 things to know about being a chef. All right, so did you run these things by Chef Todd and kind of play off of each other? Did he get it right, Todd?
Absolutely.
When he thought to do this book.
He reached out to me, and I was honored that he asked for the book.
And we worked together for a long time.
I seem to have a little bit of a sound back.
Yes, I figured this was going to manifest itself at some point because it's not exactly what it should be. All right, so we're going to keep playing with this.
Continue.
It looks like I don't understand, but it's wiggling a wire, and I wiggled it, and it's out, and I can't seem to get you back in the place where you need to be. So, it's been a week. Yes, it's been a week of fun things on both ends here, but we're just gonna. Are you okay? I mean, it's not great, but are you okay with this? Because otherwise, we're gonna have to.
Let's continue and we'll do our best with it.
Okay, that's fine. So what are the most surprising things in the book that a person who probably hadn't thought about that, like it makes perfect sense that you're going to point out all of these practicalities, but what are things that who have, you know, been familiar with the book have said, oh, you know, I never would have thought of that.
Well, I think there's a lot.
I think there's a lot of valuable
the
things in the book.
Excited to get this book to hand out. My niece is considering going to culinary school or a phase three major.
And you know,
You have to know math. Food costs, labor costs, how to run a business.
Creative dreaming about crazy things to cook.
There's a lot of fundamentals. There's a lot of science involved with cooking.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of the TV chefs and the fame and the fortune and the fortune, and there can be some of that.
I was about to say that's such a minuscule percentage of chefs. You know, it's actually getting to be a growing percentage for sure. You know, when I see people that I would never have expected to have been on those shows, I'm thinking, boy, it must take, and I know it does because we do this show, generate a lot of guests. I mean, it's like feeding people into a wood chipper, you know? I mean, you just really have to generate a lot of content and a lot of guests. So I would say that's a growing percentage of people for sure. But it never used to be that way. I mean, this is a fairly recent phenomenon where, you know, people are constantly scouring Instagram for new people to put on shows. But I could see why a person coming into it would be looking for that, you know. What was the biggest surprise that each of you had about being a chef?
Dan, would you like to take that one first?
The thing that is most surprising is that chefs actually engage in customer service.
They don't usually customer service. That's the job of the waitstaff.
That's one of the reasons cooks don't want to feed the people. but the aspect of customer service comes in tailoring the dish to the request of the customer. Now, it's stereotypically known to be arrogant. I know my food best, and how dare you challenge me, the artist. But the person who's challenging the artist is paying the artist rent. So you have to accommodate the guest to sometimes even unreasonable ends.
I think you probably do a lot more of that than you ever would have expected, don't you think?
Say that again.
I said I feel like you probably do a lot more of that than you ever would have expected to. No?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. And don't you think, Todd, you are in the kitchen now, okay? How long have you been kind of out of the kitchen, Dan?
Probably 10 years.
How long?
10.
Okay. So I feel like there was a moment when people expected chefs to be effusive in the dining room. But I feel like that trend is maybe reversing a little bit. Do you feel that way, Todd? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We grew up in the kitchen when you were getting yelled at and thrown at you and verbally abused.
That's very much not acceptable anymore.
I'm sure there's kitchens that still do. There's a lot of stress, heat, so there's tempers.
that are involved in everything that we do day to day.
So, but to control yourself, don't respond to that very well. Our world's changed.
Yes, yes. But I mean, I think that there used to be, I'm trying to think of, like here in New Orleans, we have Chef Andrea, who was really known for going around the dining room and talking to people. I think that style of being a chef had a moment. I don't know that that moment is still going on. Do you think?
I do. I go into the dining rooms all the time. People like to talk to the chef. They like to be heard. They like to compliment.
So that part of it is still there for sure.
Uh-huh.
So people still want to see the chef in the dining room.
I believe so.
You do? Okay. And how do you feel about that? Do you enjoy that part of it? Because I think, generally speaking, there are, you know, chefs are just like anybody else. There are people who are shyer than other people, and so maybe they don't want to do that sort of thing.
Well, that's true.
But I do encourage our chefs to go out and interact with people when they have the moments to get away from the stove.
Talk to people. It makes it a memorable part of the dining experience. When would you say, if you had to put a date on it?
When would you say that thing became popular?
Well, I guess. Back to the days when Emerald became popular on TV.
Although you probably were popular on TV, but okay. I was going to say 20 years, but you're talking 30 years. So 30 years.
Probably a good number.
Yeah. Well, Emerald's been around. Emerald started Emeralds in 33 years ago. So, If you're putting that as a benchmark, then that would have been about 33 years ago. I mean, I know that Chef Andrea has been doing it. Well, that would be, he just closed the restaurant, and that was at 38 years. So, yeah, I guess 30-ish years ago was when you started seeing a lot of chefs in their chef whites come out and start talking to people. But you would say it's still as popular as it has been.
I think people are shyer. Chefs are shyer, but we encourage chefs to go out and talk to people.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So what other things are in the book, Dan, that you think people would find interesting? Do you think that the people who will be buying these books are people who want to be chefs, or is it just a fun read for anyone?
Well, I think it's a fun read for anyone, but the market is someone who is interested in going into the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, how long's the book been out?
A couple months.
Uh huh. And where is it available?
I am available on Amazon, Kindle. Paperback, hardback version.
Okay. And what are you working on now?
Well, it's kind of a follow-up to Things to Know About Being a Chef, which is Things to Know About Baking, Pastry, and Confections.
Okay. Now, is this going to be like a regular thing, you think? Is there another one in the works for after you do this one?
I can't imagine what it would be.
So, I hope it's something for you if you're out of the kitchen now and you are enjoying being an author. I'm sure that the next one will be successful and you can go on. There's an endless amount of content that apparently needs to be generated all across all platforms apparently now. So that's just the way it is. It's not something to do something. You have to tell about it too. So anyway, gentlemen, I have to run along because I have to close out the show, but I really appreciate having all of you on. And Stan, we will talk to you on Wednesday. Todd, I hope to be having an e-club with you all soon. And Dan, I wish you the best of luck with your book. Say the name of it again.
50 Things to Know About Being a Chef.
50 Things to Know About Being a Chef from Dan Reed, available on Amazon. All right, guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye-bye. All right, Patty, we're going to go ahead and take another break, and I'm going to get this little thing worked out, and we'll be back.
The Crescent City Steakhouse has been a favorite since the first time I discovered it on Mardi Gras Day. This old-fashioned steakhouse hasn't changed much since it opened in 1934. I love the steaks. Here is prime beef, dry-aged in-house, a great T-bone or porterhouse steak. The Vojkovich family has welcomed generations of locals to this special place, and they'd love to welcome you. Crescent City Steakhouse, 1001 North Broad, 821-3271. Care Restaurant and Supply has reopened for you to come in.
Patty, can you hear me? All right. Can you hear me, Patty? I hope so. I want to tell you about Porter and Luke's. Porter and Luke's with an S. If you go to the website and look at their menu, you will see an extensive menu with a full array of salads and sandwiches and specialty items like the eggplant Sophie, the eggplant medallions with the crawfish, crab, and cream sauce over angel hair pasta. They have a great fried chicken, meatballs and spaghetti, their red beans and rice with the ham shank, the pork chop, or the smoked sausage. The club, what can I say? The club is a masterpiece. Get it with the mayo instead of honey mustard, which is what they serve it with. I guess that's their spin on it, but I prefer the mayo. They have a good hamburger. I've been looking at the meatball sub. Just a lot of really great neighborhood food at Porter and Luke's. We love it so much, we go over there to have it. And we live on the North Shore, but we like the food. It's just a great neighborhood place to eat. Full of neighborhood regulars, the small private room and the large private room are also filled. Porter and Luke's is located on Metairie Road at 1517 Metairie Road in the Metairie Road Shopping Center where Oakwin Heart is located. Porter and Luke's. Go to porterandlukes.com. That is it for the show. It's been a busy one. NoMenu.com is where you'll find Tom's 50-year body of work, some 400 recipes there, a list of open restaurants, restaurant reviews, dining diaries, extinct restaurants, general information about food, about New Orleans food in particular. As Don the Gourmet Neighbor says, the answers to all things can be found on NoMenu.com. I don't know about all things, but a lot of things about food you will find on NoMenu.com. If you go to the front page, the top right-hand section, you will see a place to sign up for the newsletter. That comes out twice a month. It is the better content. There is new content generated, dining diaries on right, and then there is the more premium things on in the newsletter, daily specials, the almanacs are there. We have our Instagram at the New Orleans Menu. We would love for you to follow us there, and we would love for you to tell a friend about the show. We have certainly had a rough patch on the show with all of these technical issues. I hope that they will be resolved tomorrow. I am told that they will. I had my own here, but that seems to have been okay. But we would love for you to tell a friend about the show. It's not of great import, but it's not everything else that's out there. It's about pleasure. That's what we do. We talk about pleasure. They'll be grateful if you tell them about the show. It's time now for the news from Louisiana Radio Network. You're listening to WGSO New Orleans. It's 4 o'clock. Good night.